From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Audie Cornish. 1 week after bombs exploded near the finish line of the Boston Marathon, authorities have filed criminal charges against their prime suspect. Federal prosecutors accuse 19-year-old Jahar Tsarnaev of using a weapon of mass destruction and destroying property, crimes that resulted in 3 deaths. With us to talk about the next steps in the case is NPR Justice Correspondent Carrie Johnson. And Carrie, to start, tell us a little bit more about the charges he's actually facing.
Audie, this is an initial charging document, and it includes 2 charges for now: the use of weapons of mass destruction and malicious destruction of property resulting in death. The Justice Department still could add lots of weapons charges, since we believe that neither brother had a permit to carry any firearm in the state of Massachusetts. There are also no charges as yet for the death of the MIT officer. And also important to note, the state of Massachusetts itself could charge this gentleman.
And obviously it looks like authorities have a lot of evidence, but what evidence is the prosecution actually pointing to back up these charges?
We're in the early phases here, but the criminal complaint relies pretty heavily on video surveillance footage. Tsarnaev was one of the only people who didn't respond to the first explosion, according to the FBI. Instead, they have some pictures of him allegedly fiddling with his cell phone, walking away, and the second blast happening a short time later in front of the Forum restaurant. They also have something which includes a statement from the man who was allegedly carjacked by the brothers. One of the men, it appears to be the older brother who's now dead, said something to the effect of, "Did you hear about the Boston explosion? I did that." And finally, in a search of Jahar Tsarnaev's dorm room at the University of Massachusetts in Dartmouth, FBI agents said they found BBs and a white hat matching the white cap shown in the surveillance footage.
Carrie, one thing a lot of people have remarked on is that the police did not reportedly read Tsarnaev his Miranda rights when he was initially taken in. Now, the attorney general said that they invoked a public safety exception under the law. What exactly does that mean, and what does that mean for this case going forward?
Okay, so, Audie, the Miranda decision is a very famous Supreme Court decision dating back decades and decades, and what it essentially says is people need not incriminate themselves. Police need to read people their warnings, the right to remain silent, all the things you remember from Law and Order. And if those rights are not read, that information cannot be used against the suspect in court. What the Justice Department invoked here is something called the public safety exception to Miranda. If there is, for instance, a ticking bomb or other conspirators out there, they want to get that kind of intelligence, and they have some period of time, probably not more than 2 days, in which to extract this kind of information and then go back and read the suspect his or her Miranda rights. In this case, it's not entirely clear that they need self-incriminating statements from Jahar, in part because of the strength of the evidence and that video footage we talked about, possible fingerprints and other forensics, and the statement from the carjacking victim in particular.
So what happens next?
So authorities are still investigating. They're gathering evidence at the crime scenes. They're looking to trace the movements, both physical and online in terms of social media, of both of the brothers. Now, under the weapons of mass destruction charge, Jahar could be eligible for the death penalty, but that's a really long process that involves a special committee at the Justice Department and approval from the Attorney General himself. Also, he's got a public defender, a federal public defender, and earlier today, a magistrate judge read him those legal rights, those Miranda rights we talked about. That judge said he was lucid and competent, but it could still take a long time for him to get to trial.
That's NPR's Justice Correspondent, Carrie Johnson. Carrie, thank you.
You're welcome.